that.
Okay, are we ready? The meeting has been opened, so is there any public comment? Anyone on there? Zoom, I don't see anyone. Is there anyone on there or Grant? Is
there are
any guests or
Sheila Camino, there's an empty space, and then also Dave Norris. But there's no one commenting or no typed comments on it. So
yeah.
Okay. That was Sheila?
Yes.
Is there, do we have any public comments? Being none, we'll move on to approving the vouchers.
I move that we approve the vouchers.
I'll second the motion to approve the vouchers.
There's been a motion to accept the vouchers and a second. Is there any comment from the board? There being none, all those in favor of accepting the vouchers, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, signify by saying no. There being none, vouchers are approved. For my records here, I didn't get who made the motion.
I did.
Barb made the motion. I seconded it, Jeff.
Okay, has everybody had an opportunity to review the minutes of the March board meeting?
Move to approve.
Second.
There's been a motion to accept the minutes of the March board meeting. Is there any further discussion from the board? There being none, all those in favor of accepting March board meeting, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, signify. I'm sorry, Sheila, I didn't mean to cut you off. Did she?
She said aye.
All those opposed, signify by saying no. There being none, minutes are approved. Financial report.
Chandler,
you can find it out.
Okay, after the minutes in your packet is the account balances. I think that the sweep account at the bank is working well, so anytime the checking account gets under over $25,000, it automatically sweeps. So that allows us to earn the higher interest there at the money market account. The March rate for WildStar is not out yet, so that rate is actually for previous month, February. That will probably come out tomorrow or the next day. The next page, profit and loss detail. Some of these receipts that I have missing, I now have, so those will be changed in the books. There wasn't anything, I don't think, out of the ordinary other than what you guys have already questioned. So if you flip about three pages, you'll be at the budget versus actual report. Again, and I point this out every month, still not quite sure how those fiscal year 23-24 funds are going to play into this current year's budget. We're 75% through the fiscal year, but we've only received 59% of the tax revenue for this year, depending on how they have that fiscal year 23-24 mineral royalties play in there. And I don't know how that's going to work yet, so just kind of keep that in mind for incoming funds. I apologize. Down here at the payroll, I forgot to transfer between line items from the salary employee to the full-time employee. So I did some quick math, and those will actually work out to, instead of 100% for the full-time hourly employees, we'll be at 65%. I will transfer $32,000 from the salary employee, which will make the salary employee $79,400, which will make that 62% expended. So that will be reflected clearly for you guys at the next on the next report. I apologize, I was taking care of that. You know, other than that, like I said, we're 75% through the fiscal year. Some of those line items we've kind of been over, you know, the entire fiscal year based on how our season works. The total expenditures is 61%, so we're still under budget for expenditures.
Where would you expect us to be, like, on a typical fiscal year at this point? Do you know? I mean, I'm just asking.
You know, about where we were, I can pull old reports at this time and see where we are. You know, we're a good 12% under budget for expenditures.
Okay.
So we should be okay that way. As far as income, we're at 84% of what we budget. Again, that fiscal year 23-24 minimum money, I just don't know how it's going to play into the next couple years.
Yeah, I get that. I was just curious. So don't do extra work. Okay, I'm just asking out of curiosity.
I think we're usually around in this city.
Yeah. Okay, so we're kind of right on track where we normally are.
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a lot to add to that. You know, as we're looking towards budgeting for next year and capital projects, I think I would just turn our attention, which we kind of overlook some, to the projects and capital outlays that were budgeted from last year. And so as we work through there, I mean, we still have quite a bit of money left in a lot of these projects. And so... In fact, we haven't, you know, I don't even know what some of these are, who was kind of owning those previously. I mean, the shop building heat, I would assume, refers to the KC heat, although I don't know that. Fuel storage upgrade, I guess that had zero. The cremation garden construction, did we finish that bid out in a time that I wasn't present? No. And then sprinkler system upgrade. So just to be thinking about that, obviously, end of the fiscal year is June 30, so we have 2 months essentially to expend those funds if we're going to use them. Obviously, that money carries over, and we can expend that money the following year, but as we think about it. So I had...
Good deal.
Any other questions from the board? Any questions from the board? Further discussion?
I move that we accept the financial report as presented.
I'll second it.
There's been a motion to accept the financial report and a second. Is there any further discussion from the board? There being none, all those in favor of accepting it signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed signify by saying no. There being none, financial report is approved. All right, Grant.
You're up.
You are up.
Text and report. Several things we have accomplished above and beyond our operating procedures. One is we were able to finish the security camera install, and I might be able to show that to you here.
Yeah,
actually, if you want to see that,
you just brought it up there real quick.
It's going to be HDMI. There it is. There it is. So. We also have several cameras on the shop area, watching the entries, the plumbing shed, and the fuel tanks over there. So I can't bring that up on there quite as easily, but I could do that. But so that's beneficial. And that also, there we are. All right, now rearranged the office space and had to rewire some things, but it took a little time, but it's definitely improved efficiency in there. So, then service repairs completed on the backhoe. The backhoe had several issues that have just been ongoing for months, and we're finally able to get somebody out here to look at that and address all of those. And we plowed snow several times. I was able to get Wi-Fi installed over the shop. There was a bit of an expense on hardware. You probably noticed that, but we were able to extend the Wi-Fi we have here over there, so we didn't have to set up another system. So that's good. So developed and published the website, and that's what you see right there. And I'm open to criticisms on this. It's a developing site, and so there's a lot of things to do still on it that I am aware of, but if you see something you think that could be improved, I would love to hear it. You'll see, I'll just use this as an example. If someone has questions about the cremation garden, they can click on that, and I'll give you some explanation of what that is and what we're doing with that. And then you can see here the area that we're looking at next, the next phase here that we were getting contractors to look at for us. And then there's the niche walls. We were able to get those this last month as well. And that turned out to be a really good project. But we have those staged over by the shop. So whenever this project is finished, we can have those placed on the foundations. That'll be right in here. And this, actually, when you're standing here, looking down this way at that, you will actually be looking down this road right here. So this will be the view from there. And that'll be right there, just looking right up this avenue here. And that's the view. So that's exciting. Something the public can go out and kind of see what we're doing. And several things here. Here's one for the veterans. You can click on that. And all these pictures are from here. From our cemetery here, and so these are links to forms to fill out for the free monuments and ceremonial flags and things like that. So the veterans can go to our page and find all those forms right there. So there's just all kinds of neat things.
What is the website for that, Johnson County Cemetery?
That is johnsoncountycemetery.specialdistrict.org.
Hold that up.
So I'm trying to develop things that they can fill out online instead of having it come into the office, because one of the things that I've noticed that several people had challenges with is trying to get here. A lot of times they're older, they're in nursing homes, but they can access this or have a loved one walk them through it and fill out forms right there without having to.
I think that's nice.
So
that's very nice too.
Can we see the funeral calendar? Just see. I know you were saying that that was a little struggle with the old website.
I haven't got this one updated yet, but it is there. I've got the software, or it's embedded there anyway, so I can update it. But that's not an updated calendar. But that's what it'll look like. And you can scroll into next month's or the previous months, and so. That's pretty much all there is there.
And you're going to have federal holidays blocked out?
Any of our holidays that we're not, because we don't we don't always take off just because it's federal holiday, but Memorial Day we're here, things like that. So,
yeah, sure. Interactive maps.
That will take you to. You can click on, say, the Willow Grove here. Or I guess I could have done the Casey and shown you that one.
That's okay.
But they're the same thing. You type in the name that you're looking for right there, and it will, let's just do some. And then it will find it on this map, and you can just scroll in, and it will mark that grave wherever it is that name shows up. And so you can click on that, and that will give you information about that person. This is the Sims software that we've talking about updating and downloading information. That's where this information comes from, the Sims project.
That's much nicer than
very nice.
I looked at before.
Yeah.
That was hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like
that's
that.
Great.
Very good. Oh, and even like, well, oh.
And you can get into the staff in the board meetings as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Harness was interested in this. People can apply here as well, fill out an application. Mm-hmm. She was interested in the, she asked about the agenda earlier. You can go in here into the board meetings. You see our agenda is posted there. And I get those out published as quickly as possible. Now this one needs updated because I posted that, but previous to some of the improvements that you'll see on the agenda you have in your packet, so I can replace that with an updated agenda. But so there's a lot of whistles and bells with it, and there's more that I can make it as extensive as we want to do it.
Looks good.
So. Then here's an example of the forms they can fill out to request a burial. You just fill it out, type it in, and when you get down to the bottom of the page, you hit submit, and that will send that as a form to my email. So we automatically get those all in an email. And I can check that from the phone. You may not be able to respond to it from the phone, but I can see that we received it anyway. So
looks very nice.
Good.
And
if there's anything in there you think we can change or improve, we can do it.
We might wait till spring and take some nice pictures at the Casey Cemetery and put some of those in.
Yeah, I agree.
I would love to.
Let's wait till spring.
Or it's green.
Oh, yeah.
It's never very green.
Yeah, it's never real green.
We'll get the
June, you might have some.
Those 2 days that it's green, we'll be there.
Yeah.
So. That's kind of exciting, I think.
Great to me, from what I understand. I mean, I couldn't find that if my life depended on it someplace, but I do appreciate what you do.
I like it.
Good.
You too.
Well done.
Have someone else bookmark it on your computer.
Yeah.
Then it'll just open up there if you want it to.
What
computer? Okay. You that's like lead.
Okay. Go ahead, Grant.
All right. We took several days of training for the irrigation system, and that was down in Casper. And then...
And those certificates are on file.
On our employee files, yeah.
They were all... this was a certified situation.
These are nationally known teachers, professionals in the irrigation systems that we're using, the commercial grade. We were there with other people who were in charge of like golf courses or people that just own businesses installing irrigation systems. So it was pretty comprehensive.
I still need to file those because I didn't have the key with me.
Oh, I had Ms. Chance to do it for it, so they are done. So, and then that ties in with the second bullet point down from that is we were able to talk to a specialist there, and he came up here a couple of days after their training and met with us and walked through the entirety of our irrigation system and took pictures and documents and got an idea to assess what we have and why it doesn't work. And also he's going to give us some instructions and some direction in the future as we try to develop. Because I know we are going to try to put in, or we're looking into improving our irrigation system. And I think that any feedback we get from him is going to be invaluable toward that. So that was part of that. And you may have seen in the vouchers, there was a voucher for a dinner. That's who that was. We took him out for lunch, basically. For his, and he did not charge for that. So that was at the cost of a dinner. But
A real quick note that I want to make on the irrigation system, real quick. I've got it. I was going to bring it up unfinished business, but I might as well mention it now. I did visit with John Sargent, who's the executive for the Nelgy Trust. There are 110 shares that they own in Willow Park Reservoir. that are probably going to be up for sale. The shares technically belong to the University of Wyoming because she donated all that, most of that stuff to the University of Wyoming. But they have already indicated that they want to convert that into cash. So those at some point in time, those shares may be up for sale. And I would recommend that we make an effort to go after them if they do. As far as how they're going to be sold, in the past, what I've seen is their shares have been put up on a bid situation, but they're quite valuable. Those 110 shares would give us enough water to irrigate another 40 acres for 55 days. Or 20 acres for 110 days, however we choose to use them. What I just wanted to mention to the board is that this John Sargent will be in the area here shortly. I know him personally, so I'm going to visit with him, and I'll get the district's name on the list as far as if you want to get into those shares if we can. Maybe we can purchase them all. I know there's other irrigators that are interested in those shares also, but I've done a little research on it, and we can exchange those shares with someone else. In other words, to get them from Willow Park here to the cemetery, you just don't dump it out and it gets here because there's no mode of getting it here other than through an exchange program. I've already talked to Carlin Knutson down on the river. He draws water out of Crazy Woman Creek. And he said he would be interested in exchanging if we could get that water into the. I mean, do you understand
what Carlin
does? There is a means to get that Willow Park water to here in the Clear Creek through an exchange, and then we can use the Carwild ditch because we do have an interest in that ditch to get the water out of Clear Creek. So that's just an update on that water.
That sounds great.
I think it would be really, we need to really get aggressive with that. If I had to pull a figure off the top of my head, I would say probably looking at $10,000 a share, what the value of those shares are. That may be more, it may be less, depending on the interest in it, but I do know there are other irrigators that are going to be interested in those shares. So that's just a brief update on what I...
Do you have any idea of a time when that might be going to happen?
Well, it's going to happen, I'm guessing, this year.
But not like this month?
No, I would guess that this year that those shares will be put up for sale because the University of Wyoming has no interest in them other than just turning it into cash money. So, John Sargent has indicated that they would probably be for sale. So, I will stay on it.
Okay.
And keep the board informed on it.
Good plan.
Okay. Sorry, Brad.
Oh, that's okay.
I figured it was a good place to interject.
Yeah, that was timely. Along the same topic, the fellow that we had out to look at our irrigation system, he mentioned something, because I talked to him about that gravity feed change that we're hoping to make, and he mentioned instead of installing tanks, possibly putting a pond in, that way we could also provide that as like a walking space or benches or something in that area for people. That way, kind of get a dual purpose for our expense on that. But it's just an idea that we can kind of kick around and try to put out there to think.
Well, you and I discussed it.
Yeah.
We'd have to do some geological work because that's a pretty porous area up there on top of that hill with a lot of sandstone. Whether or not it's my guess it would have to be with a sealed system, but that pit, that reservoir, whatever, the pond, whatever, would have to be sealed and we're talking about a lot of expense.
Yeah, to line it with bentonite or something.
Liner. Well, it would probably more likely take a plastic liner of some sort. Maybe not, I may be mistaken, but I know that area up in there, and it's porous. I mean, some of that area, there's much sandstone that graves will be impossible to dig in some of those areas up there.
Yeah.
So, just for your information on that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ben.
All right. We did some significant road repairs, primarily because of the excessive water we've had. This melt off. And so you'll see in the year-to-date report, we put probably 30, it's a guesstimate, about 30 tons of gravel down, and we still have more to go. So that gravel budget is going to get ate up pretty quick. But and there's also going to be, in the future, an effort to try to restructure our roads a little bit. There was no maintenance schedule at all for roads when I got here. So I'm trying to develop that, and Paul is going to spearhead that for us now. So we're in the process of developing that. So we may end up needing to obtain an implement for our tractor or two in order to properly maintain our roads or to meet protocol on that. So that's just some ideas that we're looking at in the future.
There is a rear blade. Is there a rear blade for the tractor?
There is. It's pretty chintzy. I don't see it holding up over another year or two at the most. It's already bent up and got issues, and we haven't even got a chance to grade anything yet with it. So,
when we had so much snow, I took kind of a drive around.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I was concerned about KC and its water, but this was way worse.
Sure.
So I'm just wondering. Does the cemetery have a plan for, like, where does the water go? I mean, it was just melting and running, and it was destroying, you know, the roads, where, because it was, you know, water does that. It just washes stuff out.
You're talking about KC?
No, I was talking about here. Yeah. And so I just wondered if we have, you know, where do you have a place to channel that water down here?
If you go up to the top of the hill, you can see where a drainage system, we did address some of the drainage issues, and it worked.
Yeah, because it makes a big, you know, this happened to me in KC at our campground. For some reason, they piled the snow on the other side of the road than they normally do, so when it melted, it didn't go down the drainage ditch. It all came into our yard. And we had, you know, water up to our knees, literally, around the house and such and such. So that just kind of was, I was thinking about all that together. And did you have do you have a good plan? Or is that something we need to work on?
I did.
To get the water somewhere.
I did a quick drive through today, and I did notice that around lots 45 and 55, that two-tractor road in through there has got a lot of water and snow, and it's a shaded area. The trees are really thick and heavy in there, but it might be something. I believe, is that the area where we put the new water line, repaired the water line? Or was that lower than that?
I believe that sounds about right. That area.
But it looks like there might be some work we may need to do in that area, because that's still quite wet. I didn't drive down the road because it looked like it might be pretty muddy.
So the as far as irrigation or culvert system, we do have some good culvert system in the top end, but the lower end of the cemetery, we really don't. So this has been an opportunity for us to kind of see where and how the water is running through and across this property.
I think that's a good time to look at.
And so I've taken a bunch of handful of pictures trying to figure out where the run areas are, where the flow areas are. And so we are considering trying to improve the culvert system down here, because the upper end seemed like it worked pretty well. It was overrun by the amount of water.
Yeah.
But it did its job really well. So we're going to look into some of those options. And another thing we were considering was how we remove the snow. We did an exceptional job of snow removal, which is good, especially with the amount of snow we've had. But I think in the future we were discussing, rather than just trying to plow it farther off the road, to actually remove it, use the dump truck and get it, and just haul it completely off down to the low end of the
I was wondering about that, too.
So that's another change we're probably going to make next snowfall.
Okay.
But, and
which
hopefully
is
fine. Hopefully it won't be that much.
So hopefully those will improve by next. And we
well,
may not get
the same
amount of snow.
Well, this is just an opportunity to learn, because, I mean, we've been
sure.
in a drought for a long time, so... You know,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't snow like this all the time.
I mean, I would caution everyone that just as tough as the drought was, we can't consider this winter was more of an anomaly than we've had in the past, because not as much as the amount of snow we've had is that the snow has just stayed here all winter, has been here all winter long, piling up, whether it was in the form of snow or ice, it's been piling up. So I caution people, don't panic. Don't make all kinds of financial adjustments because of this winter, because this winter was definitely, I've been here 47 years, since 76, and I've never seen a winter. I've seen storms, but I've never seen a winter where the snow, some of the snow been here since late November. Or mid-November. So it's kind of an anomaly.
But
we can't look at things and say, hey, boy, let's jump in and spend
$800,000. A well-placed culvert will help you even if you have a big thunderstorm or something,
sure.
too. So,
that's just
we
caution.
Don't need to build everything new.
I've got some neighbors that are panicking. Let's put up more snow fence. Let's do this, do that. And I tell them, just drive through the mud for the time being, and it'll get better. So anyway, that's my nickel's worth of free advice here.
And my approach on some of that is a problem is an opportunity to address a weakness. Mm-hmm. So if we have a problem, it's an opportunity to address a weakness. And that's essentially how we're trying to approach the water runoff problems that we've had this spring.
I've got a quick question. Are you going to try to mulch the leaves this spring, or are we just going to rely on the mowing to take care of it?
We're going to try to mulch them. We are, this will kind of tie in with the next phase. I'm going to turn over to Paul here in a minute about our mowers are just almost completely back up to par. The ones that aren't, we have the parts ordered, waiting for parts. So that's a big, significant step in the right direction for preparing for spring and getting equipment repairs finished. So that plays into being, we are almost at the point where we're simply waiting for the ground to thaw so we can get those out there to start mulching those leaves. Another thing we were going to do is try to brush, rent a roller brush, almost like the highway department uses for cleaning the, and we're going to use that to try to pull the gravel back out of the grass from where we plowed, but also it'll really help with leaves as well. We can use that on leaves as well for kind of, not maybe between the headstones, but just around the perimeters, and that definitely improve that area. All right, and then I'll hand these out. These are, Paul, do you want to talk to them about these mowers and how we...
As far as the rotation?
Yeah, the rotation. This is basically a breakdown of the mowers, how many hours they have, what mowers we have. I just handed those out, so they said you can move on, I guess.
Yeah, the oldest mower we got, it's been a Kubota since I've been here. It's an 08. I know at one time they had put a list together trying to trade them out every 3 years. They're extremely expensive. But right now we had some bids that are anywhere from $20,000 to $30,000 a piece. But we do have some old machines, that 08, I think. It's being repaired, but I think they have trade-in value as well, so we can trade them in. I figured the hours out on all of them. They average about 366 hours a year. We can go to a rotation every 5 years. Basically, the way I broke that down is the board would have to buy a mower every year. That would just be part of the budget. But you always have a new machine, and you just keep getting rotated. The hard part right now is we need to kind of trade two off to get into that system going pretty smooth. But barring if you get a bad one, you could stay every 5 years. You're staying up. I think the maintenance costs will go down quite a bit, from my understanding. Well, our 2010 has a 2008 mower deck on it. They've kind of swapped parts around trying to fix things. I think we'll be eliminating a lot of that stuff that we just won't have to deal with other than just routine maintenance. Talked to them once about doing a lease program. Their lease program, as they said, is in the long run, it's just not worth it. You still have the maintenance costs, and you still have to do the upkeep on them, and then you're dealing with, you're buying it now, you can actually have some trade-in value when you go back the next time. So, but yeah, it's something to look at. I know we looked at not just set on Kubotas. I mean, that's what they had here, but we went to John Deere. They're quite a bit more expensive. Pretty nice machines, but I mean, there's a lot of different machines to look at, but it's something to keep up. And the forethought is the budget comes forward here, so.
Now, one for 2026, Paul. Replace 2018, that's supposed to be 2020?
Yes, sorry.
Okay.
My bad. Yeah, I just tried to break that rotation, and I mean,
that's
it would follow that.
I kind of figured it was, but I thought I'd ask.
Yeah.
Now, what about 2008?
It's been still in the shop? Yep, still in the shop. I think they just got a bill for it finally. They're getting it fixed. Be into it for a few thousand to get it up and running.
What was all wrong with it?
I don't remember. It had seals and all kinds of problems. I think what they ended up doing was keeping that machine off to the side and just taking parts and fixing other machines and switching decks around, and kind of became a parts machine as well.
They started cannibalizing parts and not replacing them. That's why you gotta have the big expensive bill.
Yeah, and other than that, the machines are done. We're just waiting on a couple. One deck is missing one whole hanger that needs to be replaced before it's actually usable, and a foot pedal that had duct tape all over it. Replacing that. Other than that, everything else is done on the machines, completely gone through. I think we're pretty much caught up, other than a few. The side-by-side is the last big one that we have, and it's a side-by-side, so it's just going to be a mechanical nightmare, I think. So, but it still works, it still runs, so.
What kind of maintenance plan have we got on these mowers?
What we'll do is we'll be changing the oil. So we went pretty in-depth. We won't be changing the transmission oil every year. There's no need for it. We did this time, so everything is fresh, new. So we'll be changing the oil as needed every 200 hours during the summer. And then in the wintertime, as we winterize them, basically, they're going to be cleaned. And the oil's changed, everything greased, everything gone through to make sure all the levels are good and stored for the winter.
Now, for the summer help, do we have a checklist for these mowers, what they need to do before?
Yep, we're getting that made, yep, yeah. A newer updated one, so. And the hands that are here now have all been helping with that, working on them.
That's a good segue, because I was just wondering, we wrote the vouchers for them, and I just wondered what they were doing.
I've been using them for helping out, getting through the equipment, learning that equipment, picking up limbs in the cemetery. They give me an hour after school, and they jump on the side-by-side and take off, and it's just saving us from having to figure it out. They're good hands, and they're going to be pretty up-to-date. So
that's the main thing, checklist, and that way they're checking the oils, fluids, and greasing them.
Grant and I have talked different ways to prevent a lot of the issues, and basically, when we get started, they're going to be issued that mower, and that's their responsibility. So if something breaks on it, if it's from jacking around, we're going to have a problem. But if it's just something that breaks, that just happens, we're going to take care of it. But they're going to be responsible for that mower and how it's operated. So,
yeah, especially running over markers and tearing up the blades and the deck. And
yep. So, yeah, we replaced all the blades, I mean, all brand new blades. It was really, really bad. I mean, some of them were really, really bad. So, but we just got all the blades on them, so they're ready to go. We're ready to start. So.
But did you want to mention your schedule that you you showed that to me this morning?
Oh, yeah. So, and if you guys ever have a question, for every piece of equipment, barring the weed eaters and the smaller stuff, I keep different. But, you know, we got what I could find for records, I developed them, put them in, and then I keep a spreadsheet, the hours. On top of that, I break down my receipts for expenses. So if I go to CarQuest and buy something for the dump truck and then something for a lawnmower, I break that receipt down to go back to that particular lawnmower. So I think I figured our lawnmowers all cost us about $500 to get up to snuff. Other than one was $1,000, had bad hydraulic hoses we had to have replaced. So, and a couple other different items that were broke on it to bring it up to snuff. So, but yeah, if you have a question, I've got them. I can email them to you, whatever. So, but it breaks it down. And I have everything broke down from the shop to the each individual lawnmower to the side-by-side dump truck, backhoe, you name it. So it's all available if you want to see them. So.
Good job.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
And thank you also, Paul, because he has just gone through corners and closets and everything you could find with historical documentation on the space.
Right?
So,
yeah,
and,
that's good to have.
He developed a good system.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, guys. Sorry, I only had two.
Thank you.
My favorite here.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Thank you.
Hey, Chanda, I did keep this just so I can talk about it.
Great.
Just to know where it went.
Thank you. Perfect.
You didn't need it back, did you?
Nope. Best of the email, so we're good.
I might want one of those just because we're going to talk about it in my
perfect
plan.
Thank you.
So.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. See ya.
And Luke asked for a list of things that we kind of projected that are going to be expenses for the next upcoming year. You can look at those and kind of. Right now is a good time to ask questions about any of those articles. Either Paul or myself would probably have the answer you need. So you'll see there at the top of the list those lawnmowers, $25,000 to $30,000 a piece. And you'll see in the overtime report, actually, I mentioned it there, but there's those mowers. The Kubota dealership is over 100 mowers behind schedule right now. They're booked out, just waiting for them to come in. So we're looking at changing some things. But the Kubota are some of the most cost-efficient, I think. So some of those costs. Everything else we looked at was at or above that $30,000. Hopefully we can get a hold of a couple more and just maintain the fleet we have with like machines. Because they do a good job. But that may not be the case. So you'll see that cost there. And then there's rental equipment. You'll see the sweep that we talked about renting. It'd be nice if we could just purchase one for our, we could use it consistently here as well as in KC. Danette has expressed some concerns about the gravel that's getting spread off. And
it just does.
Yeah, and it's just the way, the nature of it, especially if you're building it up through your roadbed a little bit, it's going to kind of trickle out into the grass. That sweeper will be able to maintain KC roads as well.
So a sweeper will sweep leaves and gravel. It just seems to me, and I don't know because I don't know anything about this, but like I just can't imagine that it could sweep leaves without tearing everything up and move gravel. Because I'm imagining really to move gravel, you might need a backhoe, or not a backhoe, but a blade,
right?
To scrape it up. Just because my husband has a
yeah
an old blade, he wouldn't take it up here or anything.
Yeah,
you know, to that he uses on our road. So I just. Will a sweeper really do that?
Paul may be able to answer that better than I.
They're stiff, really stiff.
It's
industrial.
Okay.
Thing, and they'll move it straight over. You know, if you get into
a big
pile.
And it'll still do grass without tearing it up?
It'll tear a little bit of it.
Okay.
I mean, again, it's kind of one of those things you got to do a little weight versus gain. Trying to move gravel around. Since we're on it, that roller is one thing we're looking at doing right away here, probably in the spring, is rent a roller to start rolling these roads. That's one thing that's never really been done on the top end. It's really gushy, and it's just not packed in. It's $482 a day to rent one, with $175 to get it here. But I figured in a couple days, it's their big commercial one. It's not a small one, so we can roll the roads here. I don't know what it'll cost to get to KC, but it's something that we'll look at. Same thing down there. It's just getting these roads packed down and compressed.
Dennis Allen might have something.
Yeah, and the county does too. I don't know
all the way down there. Yeah, maybe
how that would work. They work pretty well with us when I've called them in the past. So, yeah. That's one thing right here in the spring that we're going to have to probably address really quick and get it. Because we've got to have moisture in the ground and the roads, otherwise we're just crunching dirt. So,
I wonder if maybe we should rent one this year and see how it works, and if that's what really fits our
needs. The brush?
Yeah. And then if it really does what we think it will, then buy one? Or
what would you put it on?
I don't know.
The new one.
The tractor?
Yep, the tractor itself.
You run up the PTO and you mount it on the front.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, that the New Holland's actually set up just like a Skidster. I mean, it's got the same adapter on front, so all the elements that a Skidster can take, that can take. So,
is it actually the hydraulic? It would be hydraulic powered. Is that the way they're powered?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a sweep you're talking about.
Yep.
Then the pallet forks, is that for the tractor too? Or
yep. Yeah. Everything pretty much there will fit that tractor. The auger bits, another thing that's kind of something we going to need to be probably before the next budget, just because we're going to have probably a lot of urn burials, and a bigger bit saves us from having to spend time. We can just go drill a hole, clean up our mess and pull away, and not have to wait and dig it out more to fit a particular urn. So,
do you have the drive system?
Yep.
It's a 3-point.
Well, no, it's on the front of the tractor. So it'll just basically a bolt onto the head we got. All we're going to have to do is buy the bit. We don't have to buy any other thing for it. So just bolt the bit in and go. Good to go.
Okay.
So the...
Sorry? No, that's helpful.
There is two...
Major purchase, we can incorporate this with our discussion on the budget.
What's the rodent control though? What kind of rodent control are they using?
Danetti actually referred me to that. It's a machine that actually pumps a poisonous gas into the burrows.
Okay.
And KC desperately needs some kind of rodent control. And we could use it here, too.
Yeah.
So that's what that is.
And so is that a one-time? Is that you hire someone else, or you buy this machine and you have it?
That is to purchase the machine, so we could use it whenever we need it.
3-point fits behind the tractor?
No, it's just like a small cart, almost like a wagon type thing with the machine on it. And you do have to buy it called snake oil, but it's basically a gas that we put the nozzle down into the hole. So it's about the size of a wagon. And that price is for the machine and shipping and for some of the oil as well. So that would cover it.
Well, I think that's going to be a constant thing. So
especially
in case. And they just seem to be going all over in that area out there.
Different
people I've talked to are
it's a liability.
Their house and everything.
Yeah, it's a trip hazard for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
So the automated mower, I'm kind of interested in this. If you're familiar with the robot vacuum cleaners, they have a program in them. It's got the same software in that, but it's a self-propelled mower with the same concept. You set up a perimeter and it will mow that. And it's electric, so it's almost silent. They're about $3,000. Of course, it's not going to be able to compete with the $30,000 commercial grade mower that we're using now. But I think it would be a good idea to buy one and just see how it works, how well it works. I think it'd save a lot of time as far as, because right now we're paying $30,000 for a mower, then we're hiring somebody to run it. Whereas this, it's a lot less upfront. And then if it works well, then all we have is electric cost.
Seen those in action.
We've seen if they work.
It is like the vacuum, the Roomba.
Mm-hmm.
And it runs around your yard, and then it pulls itself up and plugs in. And mm-hmm. Most yards don't have...
All the gravestones.
The gravestones.
Yeah,
gravel.
Yeah. And the gravel.
Flowers
and bushes.
Right, and I think there's a chance it will rise to the occasion. There's a chance that it won't. Even if it doesn't, we have enough wide open spaces to keep it busy that we hire someone to mow.
I would like to see how it works on.
Yeah, I'd like to see a demonstration.
Yeah.
Before.
Yeah,
they probably work great on a manicured
lawn.
Exactly.
Do you know anyone around here that has one?
I'd certainly like to see a demo, maybe.
I could look into trying to find a demo. I don't know.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
And when I see electric leaf blowers, I think of plugging into the wall. What do you mean by electric? What?
Just battery operated.
Battery. Okay.
The Milwaukee's coming out with some pretty nice stuff, actually. I don't know. Might be interesting, I don't know what you think, to get one or two, try them for a summer, see if the battery stands up to what you expect to get out of the use of them. I don't know.
Yeah, you're talking. That's kind of what I was saying.
Yeah, like, at least battery. You've got to be careful because a lot of these batteries, they change.
See if they.
Yes, look how dwarfs you start out with one battery, then they get a new series in. Mm-hmm. It doesn't use the old batteries, they come up with another new battery. So. They get you one way or another.
Just like cell phones.
Yeah.
Okay, we can get into this discussion, I think, when we look at the budget, where we can put some of this stuff in.
Okay.
Okay.
Any other questions on, I guess, there again, with the pickup, the dump trailer, snow plow, that would be something we would look at in the budget also.
Yeah, budget.
I think we're fairly done there. We
KC, monthly report looks relatively quickly.
I would like to continue to employ someone to work on the Sims. Our Sims project, you'll see that in there. He's done a remarkable job. Everything in that safe has been scanned and is now in the computer organized by file. So the point of progress where we're at is basically taking those files and verifying or installing or updating our Sims program so that when you click on that, we know that that information is correct and up to par and complete to the best of our archives. So that's... And if you wanted to wait until after we do the Sims workshop, we can. But either way, there's more work to do on it, and I think you'll...
Do you still have some time available? Has he completed?
He's pretty much done, yeah.
You've used up the allotted amount of money that was appropriate.
Yep.
And used up.
There's just 2 or 3 hours left. On okay, it, and so he's already going to come in.
You're asking for more time,
essentially, yes.
This looks like a nice report, but I have a question. Mm-hmm. It says 42 burial permit books. Mm-hmm. 42 of.
In last month's report, there was, when I first changed formats for the Sims program, or the Sims report. There was a report that I issued with that that gave a total of like how many of those books we actually have. You'd have to refer to that. I wouldn't know right off the top of my head, but and I don't think I have that with me.
It would be nice if we had like 42 of 100.
Uh-huh.
You know, that way
we've done 42, but we have 142 left.
Yeah,
right.
That'd give the board a little bit more knowledge on
How many people we got to do?
If you have five left, I would.
You know, I might have that with me.
I wouldn't want to hire.
We're going to discuss the Sims workshop. That's on the agenda.
Sure.
We're going to discuss that. We can discuss that then.
Okay.
That may be an opportune time
to
get it all up to date,
yeah,
and get it clarified.
Yeah. Okay, you'll see the KC monthly report there. Denise sent that to me. She moved snow from the roads. We did have to contract out some of that snow removal. Mm-hmm. And so she did what
it
she
just
could.
Was more than her. I just visited with her,
yeah,
one day, and it was just more than the that little plow went to, mm-hmm, so that's something.
Sure.
Which I totally believe that.
Yeah.
Something else.
And you can just read through there. So, and then the year to date, that's just data. You can compare that with what we already know. I think that's it.
Any other questions from the board on the Sexton's report?
One other thing. This is a little minor. I like that you put on the bottom how many hours you've accrued for leave and sick leave.
Sure.
It'd be nice to also have on there, I know we've already seen it in the vouchers, but mm-hmm, to put here also your overtime.
All right,
I believe that's in that on there.
Anticipated April.
That's not
the overtime,
that's just
Yeah. It's just so we can see the whole picture.
Oh, sure. Yeah, oh, okay.
That's just a little thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Any other input? Any other questions? Sheila, you still there?
No, I don't have any. I'm here.
Did you sleep?
Are you awake?
Yeah, I'm up.
I'm awake.
Okay. Any questions? Sheila?
No, I don't.
Comments or... Okay, we don't have to move on just to that. So, any guest presentations or bids? Now, I see we've got some unfinished business to take care of regarding the standardized bid request. So, we'll move on. Are there any guest presentations or bids? There being none, we'll move on. The unfinished business, okay, the first item would be the storage space request. We need to get that finalized. So what we need is just something to add the addendum to the, okay, well, got that.
I'll pass this out. Okay. I could not find anywhere in our binder where it says that a vendor could not store out there.
We don't have policies of our own. We don't have any policies.
Okay.
As far as all we are required to deal with are state statutes as far as what a public entity is allowed to do.
You'd have thought when you made the decision to deny the ability when it was a standard process and you had a policy and procedure manual, we would have put something in there so the boards that followed, but
they did not. So
yeah.
Okay.
We did. I should say that we did not. So there was nothing.
May I read this so that Sheila can hear it? Is that okay?
Yes.
Yeah. Is there? I mean,
can't
I would ask.
If she can't read.
I have one.
Thank you.
One brief comment to make because I was a dissenting vote, so
okay.
I got
mm-hmm.
one brief comment to make. I could find nowhere in state statutes nor in the state constitution where it allowed for a variance on what the state statute stipulates. In other words, when I talked to this Teresa at the auditor's office, she said, yes, it would be okay. But I wanted to ask her, where does it stipulate that it is okay? We have nothing in writing that says what we're doing is, and I don't want to use the word legal.
Copacetic.
Yeah, I want to make that's my concern is that we are not doing something that we should not be doing by doing this. So, but I went through, and I really wanted to call this Teresa back and ask her if she could send us a memo of some sort, so that we had that verification that what we're doing is right. Proper.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Understood.
That's my 2 cents worth.
But in reading the Constitution, what we need to keep in mind is the Constitution is not a list of permissions. You know, because that would be endless. It couldn't. The government does not provide all of our privileges. And so, you know, it only defines certain things. Everything else is left to things like this board to do. So I don't.
So that's think, just my, you know, that's, like you say, that's my 2 cents here. That's what I was going to just caution. All we, at this point, what we need to do is we read through this and then we just have to decide a vote on whether we add this to the policies and procedures. I believe that would be the next.
Okay. Sheila, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Pursuant to a decision made at the March 14th, 2023 Johnson County Cemetery District Board meeting, vendors will be allowed a small area of temporary storage at Willow Grove Cemetery for monuments and vaults. For this addendum, vendor is defined as a business that is funeral and cemetery related only. This includes monument retailers who ship headstones to Willow Grove Cemetery for setting at the burial site. These headstones are owned by the purchaser of the stone and will be stored until they can be set. The stones will be set in a timely manner with weather permitting. Storage of stones longer than 1 year is not permitted. This addendum includes area funeral homes who are allowed a 6 foot by 12 foot area for temporary storage of vaults for casketed burials. Area funeral homes is defined as those in Buffalo, Sheridan, and Gillette. Vendors agree to hold Johnson County Cemetery District and its employees harmless against damage or injury as it relates to the storage of monuments or vaults as described above.
Sounds good.
Is that a motion?
Yes.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion to accept this addendum and include it in our policies and procedures. And we have a second. Is there any other comment?
I would like to comment
Grant,
on it.
Go ahead.
I would suggest adding some verbiage about defending the employees, yes, and it's not our... Like, it's not our responsibility to maintain those or move those or deal with those at all?
Well, you will have to move them at some point when you use them.
We don't do anything with the monuments. We don't touch them.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking about the vaults.
I mean, I think even the vaults, they shouldn't be messing with the funeral homes' vaults and... Yeah. Anything else? I don't know that we need to put that in there. I think it's just understood that this is storage space. This isn't for you guys to be having to be expected to maintain
or
snow plow if you need to get snow away from to access.
Or if the wind comes
but
up,
but if you need
them away.
I mean, here's the thing: if you need it to insert it in a grave, you're going to have to go.
They're going to have to use them at some point.
Yeah, yes. At some point. We're going to have to handle the vaults.
Correct.
The headstone, of course, we don't handle the headstone, but the vaults we will have to handle at some point in time.
So if they come in, a vendor comes and starts delivering vaults and wants us to go help them unload those vaults, are we obligated to do that?
No. That's harsh.
That's part of the state statute stipulates that we can't offer that.
Or they are.
We can't use our resources.
Okay, Dave's question was...
On the bottom here, damage or injury, we need put theft. In case somebody comes in there, takes something, we're not held liable.
Okay.
Agree?
Make a motion, I suppose, to... So I'll withdraw my... Sheila would have to withdraw her motion.
Withdraw your motion.
Withdraw my motion?
Please.
Okay.
Okay.
because you have to change a word or add a word.
Then we would. And how did you want? How do you think that should be changed? Who's?
Oh, Barbara changes. She's doing the amendment.
Barbara will do it.
So just. So I guess your motion. Well, you don't want to make the motion, I suppose. But Sheila, if you would just remake the motion as written at the bottom, it says harmless against damage, theft, or injury as it relates to the storage of monuments or vaults.
Okay. So we're just adding theft, right?
Yes. Okay. We're just adding the word theft.
I would second that change.
Okay.
I have another question.
Go ahead.
When you're ready. So it has a time limit of 1 year, which is pretty extensive, am I thinking. But who is keeping track of what's been sitting there for a year? If you have a stack of vaults, do we keep count? Do we itemize each one? Do we look at the? Do we keep track of the monument to say Smith's monument's been here a year? Therefore, what's the policy for addressing the things that have been here more than a year?
When we discussed it, when Dave made the request, I believe he said something. Dave, are you still with us there?
Says he is.
It's really our policy. I don't know that Dave needs to respond.
Well,
to
him. He did suggest that we would not have more than five.
Yeah.
So, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, there we go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think the worry that they're going to be there longer than a year is an absolute moot thought, because people buy these stones. And let's say they buy it in October. All right, we can't set it through the winter, but we're going to set it for this family as soon as we can. Let's say they come in August. We're going to set as many stones as we can, as fast as we can, because it's our reputation. They buy something from us, and if we're the ones that are going to set them, we have to do that, and we're going to do that. So I don't think it's even a concern. Not even a concern. If someone, the only way that would happen is if someone, it has happened where, yes, she's going to need to check. A family buys a stone and it's wrong. Then they replace it. And we bring that stone over there and sit it. Well, we're not going to leave that stone on your property because it's not going to be used.
And on concerning the vault, Dave, as far as the 1 year, you did mention, I believe, when you requested the permission, that you thought it would probably wouldn't be more than five vaults at a time. I mean, you would use up five vaults and then another new set of five vaults. Is that kind of the idea?
Oh, sure. Yeah. There'll be five, four, three, one. There's never going to be any. Then when we get down, we only have one or two we order for, and they come in, they have five vaults. And they come in, we have five vaults. They're not going to have 100 vaults.
Okay.
It's going to just be a stack of five.
Okay, five at a time.
So I think the one-year thing, there was a period of time, as I listened to meetings, where there were a bunch of stones that were sitting over there that no one had knew whose they were. Is that true?
Yes. Yeah, it took quite a while to...
Still
to,
some sitting
there's still
there.
A couple there.
That, so they, I've sent letters to Harness
and
Home as well.
My suggestion to Grant was that they get put on a pile someplace. We're no longer responsible for them. Grant suggested he puts them up on the hill. They wouldn't be put in any shape or form that they would be harmed. But they probably just need to be away from the shop.
Yeah. Dave, it sounds like we need to look at those and see if they came from your
no, I don't
place
believe
or
they
someone
did.
Else.
They, no, I don't believe the Harness Funeral Home has anything to do with them. They were privately owned. There was quite a number of them, and actually it was went back to when Megan was acting sexton that she was started to do something with them. Mm-hmm. The board had asked that we get rid of some of those because of the liability involved. Mm-hmm. It was just sitting there.
Do you have an estimate of how many?
There's one, but it's several pallets, and it is in the way. We've had to move it several times.
So is there just one monument that's there?
That's left. Yeah,
okay.
We've addressed.
Just pick it up and put it up there.
Do we know? And we know who it belongs to?
Yes.
And there's still local people or...
I've sent letters to the family and actually come out and looked at it and said they would talk to the monument setter.
Okay.
That's That was last summer, so last fall.
Well, is that something that the board can encourage? Is that something that the board can help facilitate that setting of that stone?
There's no place to set it.
To contact their family.
Family has to make that
decision. I don't know.
Right, but yes. Could a board member say, hey, I'm calling on behalf of the cemetery board, we have this monument here.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the section can certainly do it.
But he's done it, and he hasn't gotten anywhere. Yeah. And I was thinking of someone
else. We can do.
Well, the situation is that they ordered a stone. It's actually like a bench, and it was the wrong color. And so they reordered the new color, but whoever was supposed to install the stone just left it there, and it's been sitting there ever since. And so the family's like, well, we already have a stone up there.
So the correct one has already been set.
Yes.
I put a bench up there.
Well, put it on the bone pile. Yeah.
So I think
if I could interject a thought on that stone, and I know whose stone that is, and we built a new stone for that family, and now the son of the family has told me has an interest in that stone to have it relettered for him and his wife, who passed away and is now buried in our cemetery. It's the Millhouse family is who it is. And if you remember when she tragically died, and of course Marge and Paul had already gone, and that stone was taken off their grave because it was the wrong color, and now the wife and the son and his would like to have that for his he and his wife that just passed away. So if that continues to be true, it'll eminently be set in a spot for him.
Okay.
But it's been there longer than a year, and that's what we're trying to hope to avoid with this policy, because we don't want to be a long-term storage yard when people are trying to decide whether or not they want.
This is the first time I can remember it happened. So a chance that happened again or, infinitesimal.
Well, now that we have the policy, it shouldn't happen again.
Now that we have more information, it's not just a...
Okay.
Numerous of the stones that were out there.
Well, we're not going to police the stones either, because the families are going to want them in place, and so we will be time bound.
So we are to the point now where we can go ahead. I would ask for a motion.
Yes. There's an area by a 6-foot by 12-foot area for temporary storage of vaults and casketed burials, but there's no designation for space or numbers on these monuments. I would suggest at least trying to create some kind of perimeters to how many or how big of an area they can take up.
As many as they can order within 1 year.
I don't think we need to get into the numbers. We're only concerned with the space, as long as they don't start using a football field size of area.
I would call the question. I call for a vote. So if there's two-thirds of the members that are willing to go along with calling the vote, then...
I agree.
I would ask for a motion to accept the addendum to the policies and procedures regarding the storage.
There's a motion on the floor.
There is.
And a second.
I thought we was doing it. Sheila.
We redid it, and you made that motion again, right, Sheila? And I seconded the repeat motion.
Yes.
I added the word theft. I'm sending it to you right now. Because I think I'm on somebody's.
Sorry. So, any other further discussion?
He's called the question, so we need to vote.
All those in favor of accepting this addendum to the policies and procedures regarding the storage, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? There being none, the motion is carried. This will have to be in a form that Barb and I will both have to sign this addendum. So
Okay. I won't send it to him yet, then we'll just add the signature block down here?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll do that after. Yeah, we can do that. You don't have to sign. Moving along, now we get to the standardized bid requests.
I have printed versions of that article that you had me...
Everyone get this one that I had written up?
Yeah.
I have extra copies here.
I have this one. I don't know if I get if you want to pass one with that or not. I can make copies of yours if you'd like.
I have plenty of copies there.
I don't think I've got this.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, here it is. It's right in front of me. Sorry.
This is the grant.
Can you tell me what this bid is for, what you guys are looking at?
It's just a standardized bid.
I sent it to your email, the forms that we're going to talk about. I don't know if you can look at it.
No, I don't dare go out of this.
It's just a standardized, like, if we need a bid, how we're going to go about doing it, Sheila.
Oh, okay.
So I'll just give some, I think what has been a frustration of mine, I guess, since being on the board, is that we get bids, they're not the same, they're not standardized, we're kind of talking about different things from different contractors. And then also the fact that no one seems to be the expert from the board to try to shepherd it through. So we end up discussing it for a prolonged period of time. And then, I mean, example would be the cremation garden. We still don't have any action on that. And so I'll just read down through it as I kind of listed it out. So discussion occurs at the board meeting needing to obtain bids. Around needing to obtain bids for a specific project or equipment. Number two, the board agrees to move forward with obtaining bids for the project. The board designates one member to oversee bid process questions. Bid request form is filled out by the sexton with input for the overseeing board member. Sexton or their designee seeks bids from appropriate contractors. Once all bids are submitted to sexton, overseeing board member is notified. Board member reviews bids in conjunction with sexton at a date prior to the board meeting. Based on their initial review, they make a recommendation to the entire board on which bid to accept. Then discussion occurs at the board meeting where individual members have the ability to review the bids if they desire. And a motion is made and we accept the bid or reject it, I guess. And then the second part was a bid request form, which just kind of... The thought would be that we send this or give this to whichever contractor or company that we're asking for, so they're working with the same information. And, you know, the board member who's supervising the bid also signs off on it so that there's consistency with what the board was requesting. So that was my thought process.
Yeah.
I like it. I like the board subject matter expert.
Yeah.
Just cut to the chase. You know, I've looked at all these, you know, boil it down so we can make an easier decision.
And make sure that and talking with him and
make sure that the bids are complete and so that we are comparing apples to apples.
What I really like on the form is that you have the date that the bid is going to be considered by the board. That's really important for a contractor to know that I've got to have it done by this time.
I put both on there, so the date the bid was due, because I feel like we need to at least make it a week beforehand so that whoever's going to review it with Grant has an opportunity to come in, look through those bids, have the discussion with Grant before the meeting. And then, but the bid needs to be valid, because what I've seen is that often before we're even considering the bids as a board, it already says has expired from what the bid, you know, the bid is good until such and such a date, and it's after time when we were even having a board meeting. So that's why I put both on there.
Yeah. Do we need to make a motion and then have discussion? Is that what we're supposed to do?
I don't. I think this is just a guideline.
Yeah, a guideline for.
Yeah, I don't.
We don't have to accept this process.
We don't have to codify it.
No.
Okay.
I don't believe.
And we can always tweak it as we go on.
Yeah, we might
have to settle around with it.
I have.
My only thought would be that you might. The board designates one board member because I suggested something in the overtime report about using a committee to do the same thing, and it essentially is the same thing, but the board may consider it designates one board member or multiple board members to address or oversee that.
Well, that's the way we've done it in the past, is there's always been one board member or two, a committee appointed to work through the project. And then the recommendation is made to the entire board.
That looks good.
That's absolutely good.
Okay.
I didn't see this. That's got to go to Chandler again. I'll give it to you, man, where I can drop off. I just need an initial report. Sorry about that. Okay.
But, you know, we can, it's a thought, we can work with it as we kind of go to
big bids. Why don't we just cut it with the next thing we have to bid?
Yeah. We've got all kinds of issues. We have contractors that go ahead and add to their bids.
Yeah.
Well, that's their choice.
I think it's,
but it has to be, 21. Each contractor has to be presented the same identical bid. And if they want to add they have to designate that this, an example, a good example is a new bid on the cremation garden for the installation of the walkway and the setting of the.
Now, we set out bid requests then, and how? Who was doing that?
Historically, the board has just had committees do that.
Okay.
But during the transition between the boards, it kind of got
done
to my lap.
Yeah.
And so I just basically got online and or the Yellow Pages book and just went down and tried to get contact 6 or 7 contractors that would do it.
Okay.
And just asked for an estimate.
How many bids have we received?
On the cremation garden? 2 have been consistent with us because it seems like the board has kind of gone back and changed a little bit or wanted clarification, and so most of them have dropped off. So we have 2 estimates set up.
Do you have a copy of that bid from I had it here, and I don't know what
I do actually.
That's a good example. I mean,
do you want me to just hand those out?
Use that as an example of he did some things on this, like he itemized it. So we've got an opportunity to line item it, look at it, and then pick what we want, what we choose to have.
Looks like it's already signed. But
what we have to do, though, is give the other contractor that was interested in it, that originally had bid on it, give him an opportunity to make the same sort of a bid, I guess.
We don't have to. I mean, he could have done that.
But if you look at it, he have added the installation of the sprinkler system and drip system and some additional landscaping and plants and whatnot, and that was not what we had what we asked for. So I think we can go through this kind of like a shopping list, so to speak.
Yeah,
you know, that's, we can line item it, decide this is what we're going to do. But Country Living, their bid was considerably different. We looked at it completely differently. So we'll have to give him an opportunity to.
Well, if we open that up to one, you might have to. Everyone that they sent a bid to would have to, send it back out to everyone.
Get going with
but if we have this process, we can say we want to know about all of these things. you know, if we really want to have, we didn't talk about having a sprinkler system.
That's why we want to standardize on it uniform so that they have all have the same
info.
Info to look at. And so anyway, that's just an example.
This is him.
Yes. Which Hep? We know there's a lot of Heps.
Oh, it's John Hep.
John Hep.
So we don't, I don't believe we discussed qualifying.
Yes.
So we'll move on to the overtime report.
So I don't know if it was overtime report. As going through the policies and procedures, it's already in here. Let's see here.
This your deal that we're dealing with the overtime now?
Yes.
I believe I've looked at that.
So office staff under payroll 1C for all employees claiming overtime or compensatory time. Time cards must reflect the date, amount of time claimed, and the reason for the claim. Prior approval from the board, the president of the board is normally required in these cases. And so I think we have a overtime policy. We're not following it, but I think, you know, as long as we follow it, I feel like I'm comfortable with what that says. And then I guess I would ask, as part of my financial statement, John, then you report on any overtime that you approved Grant to do use during the month, and we'll handle it that way.
Yeah, that might be difficult. I mean, I can't be sitting around waiting for him to call me and ask me if he puts some overtime
I think
in. I mean,
the overtime in general should be a rare thing, right? Obviously, if we're requiring overtime every week, then we as a group of managers are not doing our job to staff the cemetery appropriately. And so that, I mean, to me it should be a once a month thing. Hey, we have a Saturday funeral. I mean, I think Saturday funerals are understood. If they become an issue, then we're going to have to deal with it. But beyond that, overtime requests should be relatively rare. And it shouldn't be you having to wait around answering your phone once a day to approve an overtime.
Yeah, snow removal, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
That's ongoing.
It may snow here in town. It might not snow at my wife's place where I'm living, so...
But I do think it requires oversight. And that actually is protection for your employees. It's protection for Grant. That... It just erases any appearance of something's not right. And I think that's a protection for an employee.
Yeah.
But, and this might not be the time, but as a salaried employee, you typically don't get overtime. We may need to look at if our salary is adequate for the work we're requiring. And I can see a change there. But, you know, just as I looked at some of those overtime things, and I thought of myself as a salaried employee, you know, staying to talk with a parent until 5:30 happened rather frequently. I never asked for overtime for it. You know, there are just certain things that were just kind of baked in the cake when you have a salary.
I think we have to be pretty careful. It's pretty well written in federal law that if employees, even if they are salaried, work over 40 hours per week, they're entitled to time and a half or comp time.
Teachers never got compensated for, so I don't think we can even compare.
You don't think we can compare?
No.
Well, so
no.
That means
all
I work for
teachers
are
rad chance.
Yeah.
Right.
Rad chance are never compensated. We're the salaried chance.
No,
so, but we, it's codified in our policies and procedures. If we're going to change it, we would have to amend the policies and procedures to read this. A salary is a salary, you know. And like Luke mentioned, it can be touchy as far as whether. So,
a couple things, John. One, you wrote a comment in your report that about the perception of abuse. I don't think that was our plan at all. It's just that we cannot have any employee taking all the overtime that he or she needs. We can't have that for anybody, because that means we're just throwing money at you no matter what you're doing. And as much as I appreciate your well-documented 8-page reply, nothing on there is time-bound, except maybe a Saturday funeral. It's ongoing. Nothing had to be... Sure, maybe the shop was a mess. Didn't mean it had to be overtime to get it done. And I think that's what we need to protect. But we were not...
We need to protect you,
too, Grant. Yeah, that's right.
Family and
absolutely. Protection and all employees. That, you know, if someone approves your overtime, then you're good to go.
I have the printed version of that report if you're interested in it. And I did address the time-bound question. And perhaps you're welcome to look at this. It's the same thing that I sent out, you know. But absolutely, there are numerous things we address that are time-bound. Not necessarily like it has to be done by 2 o'clock today, but there, most of what we address is seasonal work, and sometimes that gives you literally a couple of days window to get something done between like the time when you shut down. Well, I give several examples in here. You can go off and reuse.
I think Labor Day is a good example.
Good example.
Small window to get this
preparation.
Especially this year, right?
This is going to
be
really well, cool.
May 15th before the snow's gone.
Yeah.
So I think as long as the board members, you know, especially the president of the board, and next year you're not...
I hesitate to get into a micromanagement.
But I think at some point overtime should be micromanaged. It's a resource that's finite. And I guess if you're not comfortable with that, we can change the bylaws to somebody else.
I'll do whatever the policies and procedures stipulate. I'll go read through them and understand them completely, and I'm definitely going to comply to the policy and procedures.
It should be the exception rather than the norm.
Because
your family wants you at home too.
Yeah, I'd rather be there. Yeah. I'd love to not ever.
Can I make a comment? The hard part about sometimes an overtime is, you know, if I'm working 4/10s and I'm trying to finish something up and it takes me 11 hours that day, you know, and I stay 10 hours the next day, you know, now I got to call and say, I worked an extra hour, I'm just going to finish up when I go today and go home, or do I just leave at 11? You know, I know in the Grant's report talks about using flex time, comp time, you know, and I know there's been a history of abuse or whatever. I worked under... It was the sheriff's office. We had a max, which I don't agree with, but you guys can put a max on comp time.
Mm-hmm.
And you can stringate that where it's like, okay, you only allow have carry 20 hours of comp time. It has to be used within a certain amount of time. So you have to take that day off, and Grant and I can work through that. But it saves a little bit of a hassle trying to get hold of John, you know, if we do have something come up.
But you should have. I mean, if you work 11 hours one day, you can work 9 hours the next day and still be within
the
40-hour protocol. So, or you can work 12 hours 2 days and 8 hours 3 days later. You know, like, there's flexibility for you guys to drive your own ship. I just think that the opinion of at least me is that overtime, you know, should be a finite resource. You guys should be home with your family. We should use it when we have to. And, you know, I think as long as somebody's on board that it has to be used, then, and it's appropriate. And, but some of the examples, I'll be quite frank with you, Grant, that you gave in your report is something that I would expect you to be able to get done during a regular work day. And if it isn't done, then you do it the next day. It doesn't mean you have to stay for 2 hours afterwards. And I think some of that's just expectations and us sharing expectations with you as a board, so that we're all on the same page. Is there going to be overtime? Absolutely. Should we expect 30% of our compensation to be overtime? I think that's excessive. And that's my one opinion.
It's also mine.
It's mine, too. I totally agree that that's excessive. But I think... these last couple of months have warranted that simply because of the, and I tried to clarify that by some of the examples I gave.
But so I will also
issues that we were trying to address, and you know the task or the workforce that I had to accomplish those things with, which is minimized. So I totally agree it's excessive, and I hope I never have to do it again.
Yeah.
I think we're on the same page with that. I was instructed that comp and flex time was done away with, and it wasn't an option. So
there is, yeah, there is no, we have no.
But I think we're talking two different things: comp time and being flexible with your schedule to work four tens or an 11.
We no longer have comp time in our policy.
Yeah,
and that's something we can come back around to and discuss if we want to
we
do that later.
We eliminated the board eliminated because of abuses.
Yeah.
There were piles and piles and piles of comp time built up, and then all of a sudden.
I know that's kind of rough, like the use it or lose it stuff, but that's probably the way, you know, they can only manage it.
I mean, if more choose to go back to comp time, I have no issue with that.
Or if these guys want to go back to
comp time, we're kind of
right. Yeah, you guys could think about what you'd rather have.
Some of the fault, I'm willing to bear some of the fault because I reported my overtime. I was basically told by the board, get the job done. We know you're understaffed. Just get it done.
Yeah.
That's what I was told numerous times by the board. And I reported my overtime as I was instructed to. So, and maybe that wasn't in keeping perfectly with the policy or current expectations. But
what I could say is you did as you were instructed, and you know, we're working with an almost new board. You've got three brand new board members who don't know what has previously been done.
Four.
So we're four, yeah. We're learning ourselves. And so this is just information that helps us learn. And so I'm happy for the information.
I personally feel comfortable that this overtime issue was kind of a one time. It looks to me. Like,
but I would like to follow the
look
policy.
At the shop and yes. Things are just.
I think yeah, much better. You guys have done a lot of hard work.
Took a little extra.
Nobody's arguing that.
So
as a matter of fact, that kind of I would like to, maybe next month, if we could come up an hour or two before the meeting, I'd like kind of a tour of the shop. I've never been in any of those areas. I don't want to take a lot of your time, but just I'd like to have a visual of what we're all talking about.
I have been to the shop.
I do. But you don't have to wait for that. You just come out here
we'll
and have them show you around.
Okay,
it does.
Sure. Well, I want to schedule it when it's convenient for you, and if we schedule it,
just give them
a just clean out right
now. Yeah, that's a good time, right?
All right, so we're satisfied with the overtime.
I just want to clarify that the board has given me approval to flex our time if we need to stay late, stay an hour late one night.
Yes.
Come in an hour late the next morning, or what are we going to do?
I
would love to do that.
Today,
I think
for
it's a great idea.
A perfect example. If we typically go to 5 o'clock, then come in at 9 instead of 8.
I have a game for that.
That works fine. You're just,
I'd rather us be finished with the meeting by 4.
Yes.
Okay.
Any other comment on the overtime report? Moving on to new business. The Sims workshop, I've discussed this with Grant, and what I would like to suggest is that we work at that Sims workshop in conjunction with our May budget work session, which I would ask or recommend the 2nd of May. That would be a week prior to our May meeting. Luke, where would you set on that?
May 2nd would not work for me.
Yeah, I'm going to be out of town, I think. I got to head back to Wisconsin.
Is that a day difference? Does
I want to be gone for about a week.
Okay.
For me, it's a day. I work a day shift, so I'll be working until 7 p.m. So unless you wanted to do it at 7:30 at night,
no,
7:45.
But that would be the entire week? Entire week? Or just
Monday, Tuesday. I could do Wednesday.
Okay, you...
I would be gone for about a week the first week.
And if any of us are, of the new five new board members, Dave has had more experience than the rest, so I guess if you could make that work session, I believe it would be.
What exactly would we be learning in this session?
The SIMS program, essentially.
Like how to enter information or how it works?
Essentially kind of an overview of what the SIMS program does and how we stock it, how we fulfill, and how we offer that to the public.
We could possibly have a representative.
That's what I was like. Let's have one separate.
I don't know if we
could
get one that.
Because there's the 10th, we also have the board class.
Well, I might be able to switch it too. Would it be a late afternoon then?
Yeah.
Anytime works is fine with me. I mean, okay. Anytime after 9 o'clock in the morning.
I did call the company and asked if they could send a rep, and they are based out of Minnesota or something like that. And he's referred me to a tutorial video they use, almost like an advertisement, kind of walks you through what the system is. And I believe he said he could zoom in to answer questions on it as well.
Yeah.
And then I could write up a chart that kind of gives basic a black and white overview of all the divisions in.
The reason I'm looking at that particular date is that we could work in that final work session for the budget.
Prior to our May meeting.
Our May meeting where we actually approve.
The third works for me.
The third would be better than the second.
Well, Luke can't on the second.
Okay, so the third, Luke, would work for you?
Yeah, I could do the third.
Liz?
I'm not certain if it will, because we've got to kind of, we're also doing the 10th. That board class is on the 10th. So I'm a little limited on days that I can be gone.
What time are you talking?
On the,
what time?
What, Luke, what did you say?
Well, the 4th or the 5th would actually work better for me, Thursday or Friday. But.
Yeah, that's
the board class on the 10th, Sheila's at 11.
I could do any time on the 4th or the 5th.
The 4th at 11?
No. The 10th of 11 is the board class.
Yeah.
Well, the 10th?
That's the parliamentary procedure one, like the board class. Is
the one
on the 10th.
Palmer Mountain?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And then they're talking about the SIMS, a SIMS training on the 4th at what time?
Board class. I'm missing something here. Confused.
We'll come back to that.
Okay.
Let's finish this first.
The 4th or 5th anytime, and it wouldn't just be the SIMS class. It would be the budget hearing or budget discussion, because really, as we've proven, I think today, we're not able to get through a discussion of each one of those items that's been requested by Grant in a
time.
So we need a 3 or 4 hour discussion.
I think so.
And that light, could we shoot for morning so we're not here all night?
Pardon me?
Can we start in the morning?
The 4th at 9 o'clock or something? Would that be?
After 9 is
5 a.m.
I'm going to get real busy real quick here now with moving cattle and whatnot.
Does 9 o'clock?
My slow time is coming.
Does 9 o'clock?
Fast time, real. Luke understands it.
Yeah.
So the 4th, I mean, if we set a date, I can be here. So
May 4th
at
9
better?
O'clock.
Oh, 9 o'clock is fine. I bring my grandson to town at 9 o'clock 5 days a week or 4 days a week. So I can, anytime after 9 o'clock, picking what date are we talking about. Sheila, you'll be here then?
Yes.
Okay, great. I want to see the look in your eyes.
See the sweat on your brow.
So which date? And you're going to be
out. Yeah, I want to be out. But I mean,
okay.
you're familiar enough with it,
so that I'm probably the most confused in SIMS with anybody. So, Liz, where would you?
I think I can do that. Yeah, if it's not just a training thing, I'll make sure I can.
In the morning.
Yep.
Is that 9 work for you?
That's good.
May 4th?
What day are we looking at?
May 4th at 9 a.m.
May 4th.
Thursday, May 4th at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. That alerts.
Okay. What's that?
Insurance.
Okay, now, move on to the
insurance. So you guys probably read through this email a little bit. So it was brought to my attention by Chanda and Grant about the insurance premiums that we were being charged, or I shouldn't say we, these guys, Grant and Paul, were being charged for their families, for themselves and their families, I should say. So, you know, I guess a little frustration on my part, I think a note to ourselves that we need to do better, is our employee handbook specifically has a blank page in it when it talks about our benefits and our rates about benefits. And so, you know, I'd ask Grant to put that on a rolling calendar to kind of evaluate that annually so we can update it. But I did dig through minutes of the old board meetings and came across the discussion on the August 21st board meeting where it says the district will continue to pay 100% of employee health insurance premium, but only 50% of the spousal or family portion of the policy premium, which is far outside of what the rest of the county does. So county employees get a 10% premium charge. So they pay 10% of their premium no matter if they're, you know, just a single person, a couple, or a family. And so we're really penalizing people against what, you know, I guess what we know is the county employees, that place where you go to learn about history, museum employees, and the fire department. So my recommendation would be that we follow the benefits that the county provides to their employees and the policy around that, and we just kind of update those benefits annually when the county does it, so I can find out from the commissioners. So that would be going to essentially follow their premiums for health insurance more specifically, but even further than that, and I've tried to get from the clerk's office the specifics of the retirement plans, the everything, but we just, so that we don't have to keep up with the benefits ourselves annually, that we just follow what the county is doing. So that's my recommendation.
That makes perfect sense.
I remember the discussions. I cannot for the life of me remember why we decided on 50%. I have no idea. I have no idea why it was decided that it would only be 50%. I am total agreement with what you just presented here.
So then, I guess, you know, I'll make a motion, but as part of the discussion, then the question needs to be whether or not it'll be retroactive, because, you know, as it stands right now, there's a pretty big health insurance premium sitting out there for people that, you know, wasn't expected, I guess. And so my recommendation would be that we just make it retroactive to prior to this to match up with the county. What Chanda had been doing, actually, which was the 10% premium, and make that retroactive.
How far?
From the time of hire.
Hire, yeah.
Okay.
I totally agree. Okay. I mean, do we need a motion or a vote?
I think we do. We would need to make a formal motion. So I would make that motion that we follow the county's benefit schedule and make it retroactive to the date of hire.
I second it.
And I guess to discuss this even further, so, and Grant, chime in here because it affects you too. In that, Grant had been being charged the 10%, and then with this fine that we made within the last month, I said, well, truthfully, we should not have been subtracting the 10% from his salary, and we need to pay him back that based on that. So what my recommendation would be is that any money that we refunded up to, you know, we let him keep the 10% of his paycheck from the date of this, from 8/21, which I don't know when you were hired.
July 22.
July 22nd.
So
I think it was like July 16th of 2022.
When did you start receiving?
So my understanding is the county pays 90% of their employees' premiums?
Yes.
Well, that's really a good benefit.
Yeah.
If they're paying 90% of their employees' medical premiums, I think.
Yes.
That's 90%.
I mean, I was a state employee, and they paid 85% of our premiums.
Military pays 100.
100%?
Yeah, when I was in the military. Yeah. Free medical dental.
Yeah. Yeah. Trying to get you a doctor is not easy, though.
Yeah. No.
I was told that they want to cover the family.
We're getting kind of off here.
Yeah, so what about the family's premium? Like, how's that? Does that include the family, too? Yeah.
And usually it's not included with family premium, but...
There's some different deductible or different subtraction based on that. It's still, so if you do the employee and family, it's still going to be significantly more money that they're paying. For an employee, it would be $83.50 a month, essentially. And an employee with family would be $194 a month because they would be getting 10%. So they're still paying double the premium, but it's also, we're paying substantially more money as a board of the premium.
And that's the cheap insurance. So what is the insurance? What is the insurance? What company?
Blue Cross.
They're under Blue Cross. And Blue Cross.
As it sits right now, Paul, you're paying 50% for your family?
Well, this is why this all came up, because it was not really clarified. I based it off of what the county was doing, because our handbook was blank, so I figured, and most of the special districts follow the guidelines of the county, so I figured 10%, and we didn't have a clue where to go from there. Okay. So,
well, I think we need to clarify it.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
So, as the motion still stands, the motion.
Yes, and she was seconded.
I think that only I still haven't clarified in my head for Chanda and for Grant. I mean, I think going back to Paul to December is easy, but Grant's been doing the 10% since the 2021 with the under 21.
2022.
Oh, August. Okay. So I guess, I mean, in the end, that would be what? Since August of 22, my math is bad, 8 months or something. So question, I mean, based on our previous rules that was in the minutes, based on the motion that was in there, Grant should not have been being charged the $83.52. We were supposedly paying 100% of that. And so I guess I would recommend we continue to refund that amount up until this date or this month, April. And as of April, he will start with the 10% premium. Paul will start with the 10% premium. Does that sound fair?
Yes, sir.
Sound fair?
Good.
Okay.
Okay.
To everyone. So that's my motion. Yeah, it's clear in my head.
Yeah,
I follow you.
There's been a motion, a second.
I'll make a second.
Further, you.
Okay, she would second it.
Okay. To basically follow the county schedule.
Do we need to write that policy?
I will bring that back hopefully next month if I can. Okay. No one's real helpful in getting the information, but hopefully I can get that back. With a page that will go into the employee handbook we'll update annually.
Okay. Any other discussion? There being none, all those in favor accepting this motion to follow the county schedule, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, signify by saying no. Excuse me. There being none, the motion is carried. Approved. And you will...
Yep, I'll work on that, and I'll communicate with Chanda and make sure we get this fixed.
The item on new business is the harness disinterment. Dave, are you still? And Kate, okay, I'm sorry. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, that's right.
You're sitting over there. No, you don't say fine. Anything else. I've looked at the. I've been through the. The policies and procedures, and there is no issue with doing it. I don't know if anyone else has looked through. there has to be a representative from the funeral home.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you understand that.
I can provide one of those.
She might know somebody.
It's a matter of the fees. According to the policy and procedures, the board and the funeral home operator or director collaborate on what is charged for the interment.
Interment or disinterment?
I'm sorry, disinterment. A big difference there.
Yeah.
Sorry. I am going to suggest that there be no fees.
Yeah.
That would be my suggestion.
Thank you.
I would second that motion.
Well, I can't make the motion because I'm
president.
I will. I'll make it.
I think
you make it.
I'll make a motion. We do not charge for the disinterment.
Second.
And been seconded. Any other discussion? There being none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed signify by saying no. There is none, so the motion is carried. And I believe you'll just make the arrangement. You and
just work with Grant.
Make
Thank
the
you. I appreciate that. Thank you for waiving the fee. This is not an easy decision, and I appreciate that. There are some logistics, obviously, that go with this. And Grant, do we work with you on that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Sure.
Do you have an idea of when this could take place?
Basically, the only stipulation right now would be the policy and procedures require the ground to be thawed.
Yeah, absolutely, and I
just
need that too.
So, give it a little time.
Okay.
So, but there's no rush on our part, if that helps you.
No, thank you. Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. Any board member want to do an executive?
Okay, we got to make a motion for that. I'm making a motion. We're done with the meeting. I make motion we go into the executive session.
Second.
There's a second.
Okay.
President, for the record, what is the executive session? What is the nature?
This is an employee matter.
Employee matter.